WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Happy Sunday, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And hello. I missed you last week.
I know. You know, it's funny because when you said, oh, I've got a sick kid, I was like, I got this. And luckily I had Charles on the show with me. And we kind of, like, we recorded in our offices because I was like, well, it's kind of rainy. We don't have to go across the street. I can just pull it up. And we recorded, and apparently it worked out well. So we missed you.
Well.
But having Charles around was so nice because I was like, oh my gosh, I have, like, a second co-host.
Yeah, it works out perfectly. No, and that's why, not that I was like, oh, I don't feel bad that I'm, like, leaving her high and dry, but it just made it easier for me to be like, dude, my kid is sick.
Oh, yeah,
like,
totally.
I can't, don't want to bring the germs. But, you know, thinking about, since it has been a while since I've seen you, you know, we had Easter the other weekend. Mm-hmm. How was your Easter? What did you
do?
It
was good.
Did you go to the Huntsville area?
No, we stayed in town. It was actually one of those things where it was so rainy and dreary, and I think I was sleep deprived. Because I think I've been doing so much lately at the end of the semester that, I mean, I was just like on the couch watching TV most of the time. I would get in the floor and stretch a little, but then I was like, I just kind of want to lay down. But it was good. I mean, it felt good to rest. I'm glad that it's getting pretty outside. We kind of had like a little cold snap earlier in the week, but I love being outside. So I was glad to see it kind of get a little warmer.
Yeah. I totally know what you mean.
Yeah. What about y'all?
We actually, so, you know, my parents are in the North Alabama area, and my mom had randomly texted me prior to Easter, and she's like, hey, if y'all aren't doing anything on Sunday, and I want to make sure I get the name of this organization right, the Filipino American Association of Greater Birmingham is having an Easter picnic in Hoover. And she's like, we were invited and we thought about driving down for that if y'all want to come up from Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
They have a lot of activities for the games. And so I think they had this like catered Filipino lunch.
Oh, nice.
And then everybody brought a dessert.
Yeah.
And so it was nice. Like, it was really, I don't know. Honestly, I think I really enjoyed it because my kids got to see other children that were also half Caucasian, half Filipino, like them. So it was like nice just seeing like kind of that mix and everything. I geek out about weird stuff like that.
I know, so, I love that. So was this like, so this is an organization that put it on? Was it at a church, community center?
It was actually at one of the city parks in Hoover. I think it's called Sertoma Park.
Nice.
Really beautiful pavilion. Of course, it was raining right when we got there, but probably within the first 45 minutes we were there, it got hot and sunny.
Really?
It was a little hot and steamy for
probably
a second.
A little steamy
from that.
Outside.
But it was beautiful. So I was really excited about that, and you know, just to get to meet other Filipino Americans in the area.
That's
In Tuscaloosa there's a West Alabama Association also. And so my husband was like, you know, honestly, he's like, I really liked going to that because you were not cooking as much Filipino food as I would like you to at home.
So I was gonna ask you that. Does Terry like Filipino food?
He does.
Really?
And you know, and if you guys are like, why are they talking so much about this, actually will tie in eventually.
Yes.
Into our show. But yes, you know, my husband grew up in the Birmingham area and then moved to Tuscaloosa when he was in sixth grade, and actually had a lot of friends that were Filipino, and he remembers like eating certain dishes. Mm-hmm. And so I think he was probably just excited when he married me, like, oh man, like all of my favorites are going to be served up on the regular. And they're not.
Well,
not to say that I can't cook them. I just don't as frequently as I probably would want to.
It's kind of funny because Jason's mom's Vietnamese, and so when I found out that he was half Vietnamese, I was like, oh my gosh, I get to eat pho like all the time.
Uh-huh.
And he never, and I was like, seriously, dude? And he was like, no, growing up, I only wanted to eat like American food. And I'm sitting here like, you have this wealth of culture. Why are you not eating it? And so it's just funny. So it's always an inside joke because every time we're around his mom, his sister and himself, they are very traditional, just like Southern kids, and they like eating like the southern foods, and I'm over here like, I want egg rolls, I want pho, I want all these fun things. So I think it's kind of funny. I think it's kind of a funny little haha moment of like, I mean, I can relate to Terry, like, man, make some Filipino food, you know?
Like, here we go. No, and honestly, being around there, that did inspire me to make that part of our meal plan routine throughout the week. Well, first, we need to create a meal plan.
Sure.
We don't really do
don't
that.
We all?
Kind of eat on the fly. But that's not all we're talking about today, y'all. We actually have a fabulous guest with us. We're going to leave you on a cliffhanger so that you can kind of guess what we'll be talking about today. But we've got to take a quick break, grab a beverage, run to the restroom, do what you got to do. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of geeking out today because you know my love for Asian culture. And I feel like just sort of the things that we're tying into our conversation today, I mean, some of it's relating, some of it doesn't. But that's kind of what's fun about our show is we have health topics, we talk about things, and then sometimes it relates. And overall, we just hope that we're good entertainment for you guys in the Tuscaloosa area.
Exactly. And if you are one of the rare folks that this is the first time that you are listening to our show and you're like, what is Fit to Be Tied all about? You know, we like to discuss wellness from a very holistic standpoint. We also like to use the Alabama model as a way to frame our conversations. And so when we think about our areas of student health and well-being, we like to make sure that our campus partners within that umbrella are represented, and we get to talk about all of the fabulous things that they are doing. So today we have the pleasure of having Devin Longstreet, who is the Student Engagement Coordinator at the Women and Gender Resource Center. And so, Devin, welcome to the show today.
Hey, yeah, it's great to be here. Thank y'all for having me. I'm super excited to start.
I will have to say, y'all can't see Devin, but he's smiling, and his shirt even says smile, and you're just kind of like a ray of sunshine.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you really are. Yeah. Like, I just noticed that your shirt said smile, and I was like, oh my gosh, and he's smiling.
Yeah.
That worked out perfectly.
Yes. Yeah, I love smiling.
Is it your favorite?
Smiling is my favorite. But no, I mean, I'm always, you know, really just happy to kind of do new things. This is my first time kind of doing one of like a talk show. And yeah, so forgive me for being so happy and smiling and all this stuff.
No.
But
we will forgive you for that, for sure. And now, Devin, you know, we know that you are at the Women and Gender Resource Center, but tell us, give us some deets on you. Tell us a little bit about your academic background, professional background, hometown, anything you feel led to share.
Yeah, sure. So I am originally from Orlando, Florida, but my mom is actually from Vietnam. She was actually born. Yeah, she was born in Vietnam. And of course, my grandmother is from Vietnam, and they actually came during the Vietnam War to America. And so, so my grandfather was from West Virginia, but then they ended up going to Florida, lived in South Florida, like lived everywhere, South Florida, Miami. But they ended up going to a Daytona, and then after that, me and my mom, we traveled a little bit throughout, you know, Central Florida, and now they kind of ended up, and now my family is now in Geneva, in a small town called Mims, Florida. So so yeah, so it's really cool, Florida, all the way. It's a crazy state, but I love it. It's home. It's great. And so, but yeah, but as a student throughout my undergrad, I did have my bachelor's in social work, and I recently just graduated this past December. So really utilizing some of those different skills throughout the Women Gender Resource Center. But I actually came on as nursing originally. So I was originally a nursing major, went 2 years through it, my freshman year, sophomore year. Took the, you know, both chems, did horribly in them, went to anatomy, and I was like, I don't like science. Science is not what I want to be doing to help people. Because it's always one of those cliches, like, you know, you want to help people. How do you want to help people? And so, you know, after talking with some friends and some mentors and some advisors, I wound up in social work. And throughout there for my, you know, junior, senior year, I really thrived in it. Learned a lot within, you know, human development, how to interact with people, a lot of interpersonal skills that you need as a social worker. It's been really great. I'm really appreciative to have, you know, that experience in my life.
That's awesome. awesome. And yeah. Now, Devin, I know that before we started the show today, you and I, we were kind of chit-chatting a little bit, and you are quite the involved student. Now, I had completely forgotten that you literally just graduated. So I think that is amazing. But tell us a little bit about the types of things that you were involved with as a student.
Yeah, so my freshman year, I was a part of the Million Dollar Band. I was a tuba player.
Good for you.
So, which is great because it was also 2017, which is when we won our national championship. So what a great way to start off, you know, your college career. You know, went there, went through, you know, traveled a ton, went to Atlanta a few times, and saw Tua, you know, throwing that, you know, game-winning catch in overtime. So it was a really cool experience. I still have some of those videos. But, you know, but after that, I really kind of got engaged in kind of that UA, you know, model lifestyle. I was an orientation leader, also known as an Avanti, for those new listeners. And I did it for 2 years. I was started off as Avanti, and then I ended up being a student coordinator, which is the, you know, supervisors of those new Avantis. Mm-hmm. I was an RA. I did student government. I was one of the senators for the school social work. You know, I was an ambassador for the school social work. And then I ended up being a student assistant. My final kind of UA student assistantship was with the Women, Gender, Resource Center, being a mentor facilitator. So it was really great.
I mean, Sheena, I think I need to up my game because I'm thinking back, like, when I was a student, I was like, yeah, I taught classes at the rec center. Come to my hip-hop class. But, I have two, like, burning questions. This has nothing to do with what we're even talking about. Okay. Right. You lived in Orlando.
Yes.
Or were you an annual pass holder to Disney?
Not for Disney.
Okay. Universal?
Universal for a few years. SeaWorld for a few years.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've had my fair share of Disney.
I'm sure.
Of course, you know. And back when it was, you know, not what it is now.
Back when people could afford to go.
Right.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic. You know,
it was great. And I'm super fortunate for my mom because my mom actually, when she worked at one of her, I think she worked as an architecture, like, firm or something. Some sorts. It was really cool. They would actually give out free tickets and things like that. So I was really fortunate to have that kind of opportunity to really enjoy Disney. And even still now, you know, we have Disney Springs, which is, really great. Definitely love Disney, but you don't go there. As a Floridian, you don't go there as much as many people think you do.
I'm doing this, like, personal poll that every time I know somebody's from Orlando, I'm like, tell me about Disney. And y'all have all said the same thing.
Right, yeah.
Universal's like a thing. You're like, yeah, we'll do these things. But you're like, I mean, we're not really, like, we don't go to Disney all the time. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Well, I think there's so much to do. You know, like Tuscaloosa is great, you know, especially when it comes to, like, the hiking, outdoors things. You know, it's really great. You know, I love the outdoors and things of nature. But, like, in Florida, like, not only do you have theme parks, but you have the beach.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is mostly free. Other than, like, parking, you have the beach. You have, like, the festivals. You have the food trucks. You have the cool, like, local restaurants.
Culture.
And it's so much. Yeah, right. And that's the thing, right? You can go down to South Florida, get some nice, like, Cuban food, some Spanish food, things like that, right? You go to Central Florida, great, you have Vietnamese food. You know, Asian food, Chinese food. And then, you know, you can go up, you know, a little more north to, like, Jacksonville, get that good Southern food.
Yeah,
so
that's
true. So it really is a melting pot. And it's a lot of diversity. It's a lot of not just like of cultures, but just of minds and experiences, you know, because people can have experiences on the East Coast versus the West Coast. And it's just, it really is its own kind of entity.
I've always liked Florida, and I could see myself ending up down there, not just because of Disney and Universal, but just in general. Okay, my other burning question, and I've totally taken this, like, rogue. Okay. So you have Vietnamese heritage.
Yes.
Can you speak Vietnamese?
I cannot speak Vietnamese.
Can you understand it at all?
No, I cannot.
It's
a
hard language.
It is. It's super hard, but also, you know, when my grandmother can speak and understand it somewhat, definitely has lost a lot of it. But the thing about it, you know, is when you're coming over from America, you know, back in, like, the 70s, 60s, and even throughout the 80s, it wasn't important to have a second language. You know, what you want to do was speak, you know, English.
That was really
the American way, you know? And so, and of course, you know, once you have that, and my mom, and my mom was brought over very young. I'm talking like 1 or 2 years old, which was really incredible that they were able to do that. But having, you know, again, that culture, the priority of learning that second language wasn't there for my mom. So my mom, you know, we know, like, the foods, like, the greetings and things of that nature, but really, you know, at the baseline of it, it just kind of, it did lose a lot of its, you know, value.
I wonder with you, Sheena, I mean, your family speaks Filipino.
They do, and it's one of those things where, especially when I've thought about what I want my children to learn, there with the Philippines, and I know with many other countries, there's the national dialect, but then a lot of times my parents speak in their local, like, a dialect from their province.
Okay.
And so, like, when they're watching the Filipino channel that they get on their Roku, it's in the national language, which is Tagalog. And then when they're speaking at home or talking to my kids, they're talking in their local dialect. And so I realize more that I understand more of, like, the local dialect. I can't speak either of the languages, but there are certainly certain phrases where I'm like, oh, they're talking trash about me. Or they're...
Like,
they're,
you tell your parents.
I always know the context into which they're talking about something. But yeah, I just, oh my gosh, Devin, we are geeking out at the fact that you're here today. And, you know, we've got to take a quick break, but when we get back, we certainly want to talk more about what your current role is at the WGRC, some details with that, some things that you have going on, and then we'll get into Asian Pacific Islander DESI American Heritage Month. So we're super pumped about that. But okay, y'all, you got to take a break. We'll catch you on the flip side. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Cat.
WVUA FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied, and actually, this is our last show of this semester. Last show of our spring 2022 semester, and then we'll be back in the fall.
Yeah, so we had to save the best for last.
We had to save the best for last.
Devin, you're bringing the energy today.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Yeah, no. I mean, you know, you always gotta end on a good note, especially, you know, whether it's school, classes, work, and apparently radio shows now. So
I mean,
it's really great.
And you know what's funny? People don't know that we do this, and when they do, they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, we have a radio show.
Yeah,
we've been doing it for a while.
We have.
Almost 7 years, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, 6 years, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so. I don't mention it often, but then when I'm like low key, like I'm like, oh snap, we're a radio host.
Yeah.
And I just have to laugh about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I mean, it's kind of crazy, but anyway, Devin, thanks for just kind of like telling us about your life and you know, humoring me with my questions about annual pass holders at Disney
of course.
And
it's
all
course.
That good
it's all
stuff.
All important, critical.
It is
to true wellness.
Right. I mean, it is because I feel super well when I go to Disney World
that's
and I eat like fun food.
And
I
that
get
is
excited.
Self-care. That is self-care.
It is self-care, definitely.
Yeah, no, for sure. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Of course, I don't know if I'll go this year because they've done raise the prices on everything. But anyway. All right, so I kind of want to talk more about what you do in your current position because, and I mean, we might have gotten to that, but clearly I was thinking about Asia. So I don't know. I mean, who knows? But so your current role at the WGRC, first of all, for our listeners that are like, WGRC, no, that's not a radio station or a TV station.
Right.
What is that? What do you do? And yeah, just enlighten us.
Yeah, so my role is a student engagement coordinator, and WGRC stands for Women and Gender Resource Center, for those who did not catch in the beginning. But yeah, but my role is really cool. It's very dynamic, and of course, in its name, is I engage with students in a multitude of ways. So I like to kind of split it into two different parts. So one of, like, the first part of my responsibilities is throughout the academic year, we go through each Heritage Month and Awareness Month, and we put on different programs. Some are a little more generic than others, but, you know, with our center being the Women and Gender Resource Center, we like to have different gendered aspects to it that really highlight either, you know, significant women or people or different individuals that comprise of this awareness or heritage. And so my main responsibilities are I to have Native American Heritage Month, Hispanic and Latinx Heritage Month, Black History Month, and then as also Asian Pacific Island DESI American Heritage Month.
As I say, that's a mouthful because I was really looking at it and I was like, I clearly don't know what this is. And,
right.
and so when I was reading it, I was like, first of all, I don't know what DESI means.
Yeah.
I mean, can y'all explain this? Because I'm like, as this white chick sitting here, I'm like, what does this mean here?
They recently changed it. And it was actually new to me when I kind of first
really?
Stepped into my role. Yeah, because, you know, it's always been... what has it been? It's always been Asian Pacific Islander
Heritage Month,
yeah, Heritage
or
Month,
even
yeah.
Asian it, American Heritage
yeah,
Month.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the fact that it's been changing, it's the main kind of source of it. It's being more inclusive, right? And so because it's not just like when you think of predominantly, you know, Asian, you think of more like Eastern, where it's like you know, you have your Chinese, Japanese, you know, Vietnamese kind of sectors. But Asia is a large continent, right? And so really where that DESI kind of comes in, it comes into again, you know, we have Pacific Islanders, but also like we have our Indian heritage as well, and as well as some of those different kind of sectors that, you know, really trying to have that holistic, you know, Taiwanese.
I gotcha.
So that's really kind of where it's coming from.
Okay. Nice.
But yeah, but it's really great. And so that's just, you know, really the first part of my kind of job is, you know, coordinating different events, working with different campus partners, mm-hmm. And really kind of showcasing both the, you know, the heritage of different cultures and the awareness of different events. Because we have a lot more. This is just something that I do. We have three different coordinators in our office. So we, you know, we touch on, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and things of that nature. But then, you know, on the other side of my job, I actually am responsible for a program called the Young Men's Leadership Program.
Oh, nice.
And so this is a really interesting program that I really appreciate. It's actually what I began with as a student assistant, I was the facilitator for this. And so what it is essentially is it's a 10-week training program in the fall where we take college-age men and we teach them how to have conversations with children. You know, of course, yeah, you know, it's one of those things, like, it's, you know, you think it's easier to talk to children than it really is, but, you know, as college students, you know, it's one of those things where you can always do the higher math, but then it's like, you know, write down how to divide, you know, 2 by 4, you know, whatever, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, really kind of, you know, explain to them, like, what conversation with a child looks like, how to actually engage with them, you know, really speak their language, go on their level, and communicate with them, which is really special to me. And then we also, you know, go through kind of the different lenses of social justice and how it pertains to different gendered issues, especially when it comes to toxic masculinity, how to use our strength and things of nature. And so that's what that 10-week program looks like in the fall. But then in the spring, we have a 10-week mentoring program where we meet each Wednesday at Skyline Elementary School, which is a local elementary school in the Tuscaloosa County. And we take those same college-age men, and we actually go to the schools. They're paired with some of those different children through 3rd through 5th grade, and they, you know, mentor them through that program on the different pillars of identity, leadership, and strength. So, you know, it's a really great program. We do lots of fun activities, but it's all centered around, you know, how to use your strength for good, how to be a good person. And you know, and we're not really here to change lives, you know, because it's only a 10-week program. You know, you can really only do so much. But at the end of the day, our kind of, you know, unofficial slogan is we're planting seeds for that better future.
That's great.
So, yeah, so it's really awesome. I love my job, especially coming out of it. Like, I, you know, start kind of backtracking a little bit. The day after graduation, which was, I think, December 12th, I started that very next Monday. So it was...
Like 2021?
Yeah, 2021.
So you're like, oh, you're brand spanking.
Oh, yeah, I'm like 4 months in new.
I'm sure Elle and Jackie were like, we cannot lose this person. We have got to get him on the payroll. Like, here we go. Now, with the mentorship program, and really with, you know, a lot of the things that you do with students in general, as far as student recruitment and us, you know, I guess I heard on the news today, you know, we're starting to call this new era post-pandemic. Do you feel like there has been an excitement for students to kind of get back into involvement like this, where they're actually getting to interact with humans face-to-face? As opposed to virtually, because I don't know what the mentorship program looked like kind of during COVID times and that kind of stuff.
It was definitely challenging last year during COVID. Of course, it was all virtual, and anybody that works with children knows that it's really been impactful for all of us. You know, it's really been impactful, not just from an academic and, you know, learning kind of spectrum, but as well as just like a social lens. You know, developing those social skills is just, it's really key to our development, you know, especially as children. You know, I mean, granted, you know, college age, you know, students, you know, are adults, but they're still developing. And that's really important to kind of keep note of. And so I think it's, you know, for me, the way that I approach a lot of my programming and a lot of my coordinating with students is I do it based on their comfort level. I always try to provide some type of Zoom or hybrid kind of option when it comes to my programs. And I think we're leaning more towards, you know, being more in person, slowly but surely. But I think, you know, I think students are really excited to kind of get back to it. I think students are really excited to get back in person, you know, start making those connections again, seeing their peers, you know, in those social settings in person. And I think it's been really exciting. I think, you know, again, just comparing the two, it's been such an incredible year this year. You know, we've had a few hiccups here and there, but overall, I'm super, super proud of my mentors. They have just, you know, they've really had a huge impact, not just like on, you know, the children at Skyline, but really on myself. It's really awesome to kind of see them go and, you know, not just achieve big things here, but being able to witness them achieve great things in the future.
Man, I think Devin for president. You're very motivating. I see the future happening before our eyes. You know, and I think it's interesting too. I was just kind of thinking about, you know, when I work with college kids and just the developmental side of how, you know, now we're in post-pandemic, Sheena, as you said, and when we were in the pandemic, people crave human interaction, and you crave it the most when you're a kid. Because I don't have kids, but at least the kids I've been around that haven't had the interaction, you're going to act out in some way. And so why not give them... And we really couldn't help it. It was just kind of the way things were. But it's so good that you guys get in there with them and try to, you know, give them access to talking and learning about other things and mentoring. I mean, it's going to really play a huge role in their lives. And they're going to look back and they're going to see that because they're going to be in high school and go, yeah, I remember that mentoring program. And now I want to be a part of it when I get to college.
And that's kind of the vision that we have. You know, it's like, we're not trying to change your lives, but, you know, plant those seeds.
You might be changing lives, though, Devin.
I sure hope so.
You might be.
I sure hope so.
Well, I for one definitely want to continue this conversation, and also too, one thing we haven't touched base yet with the WGRC is the counseling and advocacy services that y'all provide. You know, that was actually the thing that I became the most familiar with when I was a student learning about the WGRC. I know we've got to take a quick break, but as we hop back in, I'd love for us to jump into that. But you guys, grab something to drink, run to the restroom, do what you got to do. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and I feel like our conversation, it all makes sense. Like, if you've listened to the beginning of our show, like, everything is making sense in the way it fits. But we are talking about life and pieces of life in different parts. But we just got done kind of learning a little bit more about the WGRC. But, Sheena, you were asking specifically about the counseling and advocacy program.
Yes, yes. And I know, you know, Devin, with your area specifically being in student engagement and internships and programming, there's this whole other side to the WGRC. In terms of what it offers for that one-on-one experience for those that are victims of sexual assault. So tell us a little bit about that, because I know we have listeners that have probably not been aware of that service before.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a really great service, actually. What this kind of service is a counseling slash like therapy kind of service. And this is actually not just for students. It's actually for staff and faculty as well, which is really incredible. And so even for students, you know, once you step foot on campus and you're in that UA, you know, school system, you can actually receive services for you know, interpersonal violence, sexual assault, abuse, and even abuse that has not been that has not occurred on campus. If you have something that's, you know, prior trauma, whether it be at home or, you know, even just going on a spring break trip, you can actually come and see the WGRC to, you know, seek counseling services and kind of, you know, work through those different coping mechanisms and solutions to get you kind of back on track. And so what we have six staff therapists. We have six staff therapists and then one victim advocate. And they can see all of those different clients. And so what's really kind of incredible is... Sorry, I lost my thought. Welcome to our world.
Yeah. Like, literally, half the time we go off topic is because, oh, yeah, what were we talking about? Yep. Oh, that's right. Yeah. And then we start talking about Disney or BTS or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, no, for sure, yeah. So it's, you know, but it is a really great, you know, opportunity. And it's a really great service for really the greater Tuscaloosa community is what it's for. And so, yeah, I don't know why I'm blanking out. So
I'm telling you, it's just, this is what we do.
It's Mondays.
It's
Well, Mondays. And you know, and when I think about too, just the way that you all have, really, you know, put those clients on the forefront in terms of meeting their needs. I remember when the staff kind of shifted timing of coming into work so that they could accommodate students that needed early morning appointments before classes or something later in the evening, because in my prior work on campus, working one-on-one with students for nutrition counseling, especially those with eating disorders, I had developed a really great relationship with a lot of your staff staff therapist, just a lot of those referrals there. So I wanted to make sure that we mentioned that. So I'm glad that you plugged that in, and I know that the details are on the WGRC website how students can get plugged in that way, and our faculty staff as well. And I feel like it might be a good time for us to transition into talking about Asian Pacific Islander DESI American Heritage Month. And Devin, I know you mentioned earlier that's one of the Heritage Months that falls under your wing. So tell us a little bit about that and what's planned for this year.
Yeah, so this is actually the first year kind of in a while that we've kind of dived back into it. It's, you know, being this month being in May is always kind of tricky for us, especially when it comes to student engagement, just because the last week of, or the first week of May is the last week of the semester. It's finals week. Lots of students are, you know, in and out, you know, whether it be finals or going home or what have you. So we're really kind of testing the waters this year. We're really trying to see, you know, where everybody is at, where, you know, the student interests are and things of that nature. And one of the really great things that, you know, I think that we're kind of taking hold of is one, we're having an event with our Chinese Culture Club, which is going to be tea and Tai Chi, which is really great, right? So we're going to be exposing some students to different types of tea and then also having a little bit of a Tai Chi kind of session.
Who's teaching the Tai Chi? Do you know?
Yeah, so we're going to have, we're kind of just planning on having a video. But if you know any
I have a Tai Chi instructor.
If your instructor is really in person. Let me know.
We need to coordinate this.
No, absolutely. Yes. No, we absolutely should. It'll be next week. It'll be next Tuesday from 6:30 to 7:30.
At night?
Yes, in the evening.
On Tuesday? So,
yes.
Okay, here's something interesting. Right. If you're okay, we're just going to plan this on air. Y'all can be a part of it. We do have a Tai Chi group. It used to be a class, but it was really hard to get participants to commit to it because of all the steps in Tai Chi. There's like 24, I think, 24 pieces. And so we kind of just had a group of people that wanted to do it. So we're like, well, we'll just kind of let y'all be like a little private group. And then anytime someone's interested, you can kind of like bring them on in. Yeah. So they actually meet Tuesdays at the rec center at 6:30. And so maybe we can work something out. And if we can't work something out this year, for sure. Rocky does a great job teaching Tai Chi. He's been doing it for a while for us now. But okay, cool.
Yeah. We should totally plan that out. Okay. That sounds good. You bring the Tai Chi, we'll bring the tea.
Sounds great. Tea too.
There we go.
Mr. Chen's quite often.
Oh yeah. It's a great place. Please go. You know, not a paid advertisement, but definitely go. So support your local Asian stores.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's really great. Yeah. And so that's one of them that we're kind of hosting, along with a few other different partners. We have, I know we've seen different keynote speakers coming up, throughout, this week and next week. But one thing that I'm really excited, I don't know if Sheena has told you, but she is actually hosting a cooking demo.
Yes. I'm going to do it virtually. It'll be next Wednesday during the lunch hour. And so we'll have a Zoom link so people can just hop in.
But
I'm going to do Filipino pancit bihon, which is basically using rice noodles. And so just kind of showing how you do that.
Cool.
And also kind of putting in like the budget-friendly message, but then also talking about like utilizing your local Asian markets, like a Mr. Chen's or something else, to buy those ingredients just in case the Asian section of a normal grocery store doesn't have those.
So. I'll tell you right now, rice paper is a saving grace.
Yeah.
Because, and I never knew this because I would always eat like spring rolls and stuff like that, like the Vietnamese like spring wraps. And then Jason was like, "Oh yeah, Mom used to always like cook eggs and put eggs in there and wrap them up." And I was like, "What?" So like, I was like, the versatility in a lot of these ingredients, and it's really you can shop on a budget.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you gotta think, you know. And I definitely, speaking from more of like my Vietnamese kind of background, you know, you always gotta go on a budget, you know. Like the things are always readily available. You know, so you really have to kind of work with what you have.
Yeah.
You know, and using different ingredients, using different methods, using different sauces and tastes, and you know. Profiles, and that's what makes it really special, you know. And so I'm very excited to
cook along with you. I'm just excited to participate in that way. And then my husband will be like, "Oh, y'all gonna cook for them, but you're not gonna cook for me." So maybe I'll get him to come too.
Yeah.
But you know, Devin, I think you know you and I we've talked about this in the planning committee for this. How food really does bring people together, and it's a way for so many entities to express their culture. And you know, food is certainly a love language. So, you know, I love the fact that we can do this, and I appreciate that you are spearheading these efforts. And I think I was telling you too that I've seen from other universities, I didn't realize until this year that a lot of universities will sometimes celebrate this Heritage Month a little bit earlier in the semester so that they can get that student engagement. Yeah. So I thought that that was really cool. So
It's really incredible, and I'm very appreciative of all of our partners, especially when it comes to students. Because, I mean, really, the way that I'm facilitating my role is just acting as a guide, right? Connecting them to these different resources, you know, going on things like this and learning and, and you know, helping them guide through their own experiences. Because that's what's really important, right? Like, you know, I am just one piece of that cultural pie, you know what I'm saying? Yes. And so I think it's really important to kind of, you know, highlight our students and let them take that lead, take that initiative, take that leadership, and guiding their own kind of, you know, their path for expressing their own heritage and culture. So that's something that I'm really excited for.
Absolutely. Well, I know that we are coming to an end of the show. We've got one last 5-minute segment, and actually, Devin, we're going to keep you on for that 5 minutes. We have a burning question that we ask all of our guests.
All right.
So you gotta get prepared. Okay. But y'all, we're gonna take a quick break. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Shane and Whitney on 90.7 Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied. It's our last show of the semester, but what a way to end. We always end with a bang. It's actually making me like really hungry right now, and I want a big bowl of ramen. Like, I'm not kidding. I want to chop some tofu, green onions on it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Devin.
Yes.
Thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.
It's
great.
It's been awesome. You'll be back, trust me.
Okay.
Okay, so we always want to ask our guests this, and because we're just curious, you know, we're all different. We have different ways of, you know, living life and going through our day-to-day. So how do you practice self-care? What does that look like for you?
Oh, man, self-care. What a great question.
It is.
You know, when you get so busy, you know, what do you do with all the extra time that you have doing everything? And so one thing that I do for self-care is I'm a very big, I love music.
Okay.
Really, really love music. Of course, you know, being Mill and our band, you know, classically trained and tuba, the most musical instrument, they would say. But no, I really love music. I love finding new songs. I love going on my Spotify, checking out new different radios through there, different people. And I actually have a really great friend who actually makes music. And
nice.
So, yeah, he's really great. He's from Bessemer, lives in Tuscaloosa, and we used to work together, and he does great things. And
nice.
So him and I will, you know, sometimes just, you know, collab and, you know, make certain beats and things like that. So it's a really great way to kind of just, you know, go through there. And then, but then my second, and this is kind of a fun fact, but I love playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Do you?
I love Dungeons & Dragons. Yes, I'm a huge nerd at heart, for those who are listening. love Dungeons & Dragons.
I always find it really fascinating when people play Dungeons & Dragons because it's so involved.
It is.
And I don't
really
think
is.
People realize, like, I haven't ever played it, but like, and I understand it, but like, I don't think people get it. Like, it's a whole thing.
It really
is. It's a story.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're playing the pieces. I always find it really fascinating when people say they play that.
Yeah.
Do you have a group of people you play with?
Yeah. I have a small group right now. And so, it's really great. And they're all just people that I used to work with and all these great things. But they're really great. And it's really kind of interesting kind of going into it because, you know, you see it on like, you know, different media platforms, whether it's like Stranger Things or whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know, you roll and you have to add the different things, right? But it's a lot more involved in that. You have to create your own character and you have to, you know, explore the world that's kind of given to you by somebody else who is essentially building that world, you know, as you kind of go along. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting. And it's a really great way to kind of escape.
I was just,
you know,
yeah,
it's
like,
a really great way to escape
like,
kind of, you know,
yeah.
the everyday kind of, you know, stresses. And that's a really great thing. I love doing that. And we do that every other weekend.
Does the game continue week to week? Like you start where you left off?
Yeah.
So how long does the game go?
Yeah, so I mean, it can go years.
Yeah,
it can literally go years.
The same people.
Yeah, it can go years if everybody's committed and dedicated. It can go on for years.
So this current game that you have right now.
So we just started. And we are essentially a guild that's kind of, you know, in this town trying to build our reputation.
I love it.
So this is really going to be a long campaign for us to kind of go through. I think the DM was saying that it's going to be at least a year's long campaigning. Oh yeah. So it's really great. But then you can also have one-offs. So we can have ones that and there are different like board games that you can also kind of get into. But it's just one single story you can play for. You know, we can be honest, probably 5 hours and get through that stories. But
what kind of snacks do you have? Because for 5 hours, you've got to have a snack.
Oh, snacks. Yeah. Definitely our pops for our listeners over the age of 21, you know, some other beverages.
Sure.
It's really great, you know, just kind of come back and, you know, whether it's be chips or we, you know, order in like McDonald's or whatever, which is not super healthy, but it helps the mind.
But you know what? It's an escape from reality and it's self-care. I love it.
Yeah.
Dude, no, I'm like, okay, I need my kids to grow up a little bit so that mommy can start some veggies.
Yeah.
Sheena, you want to start a campaign?
Yeah.
We'll do it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we have gone full circle today, y'all. Devin, thank you so much for being on the show with Whitney and I today. And y'all, this is it for spring 2022. We will catch you in the fall. Hit us up on our reruns over the summer. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.